الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد. Respected brothers and sisters, first of all, it's an honor to be with you today, inshallah, and tomorrow as well, and on Sunday. And I am grateful and thankful for the organizers of this event for inviting me to this auspicious gathering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts and all of your efforts as well for attending this event, inshallah. As the brother was mentioning, the topic that I have in front of me, inshallah, is based on a very important book on Seerah. This is a book in Arabic called Sayyiduna Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Shama'iluhu al-Hamida, Khisaluhu al-Majida. Which means, our master Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, Allah bless him and give him peace, his praiseworthy characteristics and his honorable qualities. This is a book written by a very famous scholar of Syria, Halab, which is in Syria, Aleppo, Sheikh Abdullah Sirajuddin, rahimahullah, he's passed away. And it's a unique book in Arabic. Now, I'm just going to base my discourse on this book. And what we have planned to do is that, inshallah, this discussion, which is discussion on relationship, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's relationship and his dealings with his wives, with spouses. So it's a topic related to marriage, which I know, especially for the young people, it's a very favorite subject. Like in England, whenever there's a marriage talk in the universities, it's all packed. Everybody comes for marriage talks. And you talk about zakat, it's like you get 10 people. But with marriage, especially young people, so alhamdulillah, it's good. At least they come for the marriage talks. You know, inshallah, it should be a beginning. And I'm going to be dealing with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dealings and his interactions and how he dealt with different people. So tonight and tomorrow night will be part one and part two, where I'm going to talk about, inshallah, and look at the relationship of spouses, rights of the husband, rights of the wife. And I will, inshallah, look at this topic in a very general sense, not just basing it on this book. But before I do that, what I want to say is that this event, which is the organic tradition, the pure way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we as Muslims, we as believers, we must, by Sharia, we must, it's an obligation that we learn about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I came across a very good English proverb the other day when somebody said that knowing him is loving him, and loving him is following him. Knowing him is loving him, and loving him is following him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning there are three stages here, there are three levels, and each level contributes to the next level. Each level results in the next level. The first step or the first level for every Muslim is actually to know and to recognize who the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. That's the first step. And when an individual knows and recognizes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will result in him having love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once a person has true and genuine love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will result in him following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are three levels. And we have to start at the first level. We have to start. And knowing about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and learning about him and recognizing him is actually one of the obligations of Sharia. The author here, Sheikh Abdullah Sirajuddin, he has a small introduction where he talks about al-muqaddimatu fi wujub at-ta'arrufi ila janabi Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa wujub al-ittila'i ala shama'ilihi ash-sharifa wa sajayahu al-latifa. This is the title, which means that this is an introduction that discusses the obligation, the necessity, the necessity of recognizing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to knowing him, ta'arruf. The one who knows, the one who recognizes another is called an arif. You have to, we as Muslims, we must recognize him. We must know about him. And it's not enough for us to just know a few basic things here and there, like a few dates here, yeah, he was born on this date, he passed away on that date, and these. I mean, even that, many of us, we don't even know the names of his children and his wives. We know all the, you know, football players and the baseball players and these players and that. We'll know exactly what age they are at and how many children they have and who their girlfriend is. Everything we know. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unfortunately, we live in a time where we don't know anything about him. Every believer is duty bound. There's an obligation upon every one of us here, male, female, that he learns. And remember, learning is not just listening to some talks, that's it. It has to be part and parcel of our daily routine and life, that we dedicate time to learning about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have time today for everything, brothers and sisters. We have time. We live in a world and in an era where it's just, you know, all the whole capitalist environment around us, where everybody's too busy, nobody has time. Like, I don't know here, but in the UK, it's like if you go in London, nobody's got time. Nobody has time for anybody. Your next door neighbor must be maybe dying, but you've got to go work. Your money is more important. This is the environment we live in. We have time for everything, for making properties, for building. I'm not saying we shouldn't do business, because that's important as well. But unfortunately, if we do not have time, we don't have time for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to, you know, just small portions of our daily time, dedicating it to the learning of the Qur'an, recitation of the Qur'an. I'm trying to understand the meanings of the Qur'an, learning about the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many scholars actually state that we should dedicate at least 10 to 15 minutes daily in our lives, reading the blessed seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it's in Arabic, whether it's in English, or any other language you may want to read it. At least 10 to 15 minutes, dedicate. And many scholars say that it's not just about learning, one should also have an intention of ibadah. Just like we recite Quran, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, it's a form of worshipping Allah. Likewise, reading about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is as a form of worship. With the intention of worshipping Allah, with the intention of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With this intention, we need to read about Him. And we have many, many books dedicating time for religious matters. And we have many books, as I said. And before I go into that, just one point, and I've mentioned this on a few occasions before. You see, the way we live in this world, and many of us, unfortunately, many of us, many Muslims, what's happened is that our lives are such that Islam revolves around our lives. Do you know what that means? Islam revolves around our lives. You know what that means? It means that this is our basic structure of our life. Okay, this is my work. This is my job. This is what I'm going to do. This is we form our whole structure of our living. Okay, and then around that we see where Islam fits in, whether Salatul Jumu'ah can fit in or not, whether Fajr can fit in, Dhuhr, or we'll see. We structure our lives. this is my degree, this is my, you know, profession, this is what I'm going to do, everything to do with the world. Islam is then try to be, you know, we try to fit Islam in whatever we can. And the reality is that it should be the other way around. We should be revolving, our lives should revolve around Islam. This is my time for Fajr, this is my time for Dhuhr, this is my time for Asr, Maghrib, Isha. This is the time when I recite the Quran daily. This is the time, 2 hours a week, where I study about Islamic knowledge. I learn fiqh, I learn hadith, I learn tafsir, I learn aqidah, I learn this, I learn that. I learn about the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then see where the rest of the life fits in. This is our lives revolving around Islam. Because how long are we going to stay in this world? You know, that the next life is eternal. Just for 50, 60, 70 years, brothers and sisters, the way we deal with this world is that we're going to be living here forever. Allah says in the Quran, كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. You know, when you go into the next world, this world will seem as though it was a moment of the morning or a moment of the evening. That's how we'll see. Now we recite this verse, you know, we just read it, that's it. Moment of the morning, moment of the evening. What does he mean? كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. Let me make a picture, a scenario for you. You know, next life in the hereafter, in Jannah inshaAllah ta'ala, how long is it going to be? What's your name, brother? Shaib, how long? Yes, how many years you're going to live there? Eternal, it's eternal, right? Okay, what's your name, brother?
Saad.
One day after 600 million years, you've passed away. After how many years? 600 million years, you came out from your palace in Jannah, inshallah. And your palace was next door to him, maybe. Okay, both of you. And if you see me there, then make sure you take me with you. So if you both came out, how are you, Brother Saad? And what's your name? Your name is Shaib. You both met each other. You came out of your palace after how many years? 600 million billion years. Imagine. I said, okay, let's go and have some coffee. And some shisha. By the way, I don't know if it's halal, haram, shisha. A lot of people ask that. Let's go and have some coffee. We'll keep it to coffee. In Jannah, inshallah, why not? And then you started discussing, yeah, it's been such a long time, 600 billion years. Remember there was a time that there was a place called Dunya, we went there, yeah, I remember just vaguely, yeah. I was born, I was in a place called Canada, and then I grew up and I had a few, you know, like I got a degree and then I got married and then I had children and then I died. 670 years, how long are you going to live here? Average is 50 or 60 right now, brothers and sisters, seriously. Average is 50, nobody goes above 60, 70, illa mashallah. This is the average right now. 600 billion years and 60 years here. The way we dedicate our life and our time to these 60 years is as though we're going to live here for 6 billion years and 60 years there. Imagine the ratio. How much time of our life do we dedicate for the 6 billion eternal years? And how much time do we dedicate for 60, 50, 60 years here? Seriously, it doesn't make sense at all. You know the Egyptians, the pharaohs? Anybody been in Egypt? Or you may be from Egypt? You know the big pyramids, you know what they are? They used to bury, I was in Egypt last year, they used to bury their kings and their rulers in those places. If you go into the middle pyramid, we went into the pyramid. If you go into the pyramid, it's you go right inside, then you come into the open room. Now that room, they've taken out all the bodies, okay, but the coffin is there. And you look on the wall, there's all these good luck messages written there that, you know, may you have this and that. And they used to bury with their dead bodies. What did they used to bury? They used to bury fruits and bananas and this and that and everything, gold and jewelry. Okay? That makes... we think it's quite funny. But you know what? In reality, these people were more intelligent than us. Why? They used to live in this world. They used to deal with this world in such a way that they were going to live here for eternity. Okay? And they used to think in the twisted, wrongful way that if whatever we do in this world, we'll gather and earn riches and gold and jewelry, we'll earn all the treasures. For 80 years we'll live here, and then whatever remains here, we'll take it with us in the grave. And we'll use it down there in the next life. It makes sense that you dedicate your life for gathering of wealth and treasures. Because for 60, 70 years in this life, the rest will be buried with us, no problem. We know for a fact that once we go from this world, we will not take with us more than 3 pieces or 5 pieces if you're a woman. If somebody drops their mobile phone in the grave, they will pick it up again and make sure that we don't even have that mobile phone. Seriously. In the grave, what are we going to take? 3 pieces of cloths. The kafan, the shrouding of the body. We know not even one penny will come with us. Yet, the way we deal with this life, brothers and sisters, is such that we're going to live here for eternity. And therefore, this is the first important message that I wanted to give. We must start dedicating some portion of our time. We have to earn money, without a doubt. كَسْبُ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ Earning halal wealth is an obligation. I'm not saying we should all just come here all day, Fajr to Isha, and just sit in the masjid, and that's it, Allah will send food from the heavens. No, that's not how it works. But what I'm trying to say is that we need to get a balance. Ensure that we learn about our religious obligations, about religious duties. And the first point here is learning about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I said, knowing him is loving him. We must learn about him. And there are many books. The ulama mentioned there's books like the 3 categories. You have Seerah, you have Shama'il, you have Khasais. Seerah, general biographies of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shama'il, his characteristics, like the Shama'il of Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah, which I think will be taught in this course. And then you have certain books called the books of Khasais, like Imam al-Suyuti wrote a book called Khasais al-Kubra, which means the specialities, the unique aspects of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ummah, the uniqueness of his ummah and the uniqueness of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many books that can be studied, like for example, there's a very famous book which I urge people to study. It's been translated into the English language as well. Al-Shifa of Qadi Iyad. Al-Shifa fi ta'arifi huquq al-Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The cure, and in learning about the rights of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the famous Maliki scholar Qadi Iyad, he wrote this book, and it's a unique book. It's an amazing book. He talks about, he starts off with the character of the about the physical nature of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his characteristics, and one important part of that book is he talks about the huquq, the rights of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The rights we owe as a ummah. The rights we owe as a ummah to the Blessed Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are his rights, his huquq? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then there's books like Seerah ibn Hisham, which is in Arabic. You have the Shama'il of Imam al-Tirmidhi, as I mentioned. There's a very good book called Wasa'il al-Wusul that can be studied as well. There's Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahimahullah, he wrote a book, 6 volumes in Arabic, Zadul al-Ma'ad fi Hadi Khair al-Ibad. There's a very good book, Al-Rahiq al-Makhtum, The Sealed Nectar, which is translated into English as well. A very good book in Seerah. And this one as well, Sayyiduna Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the point here is that we must dedicate time to learning about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once we know him, we will automatically have love for him. Because you can't love someone without knowing that person. Like I heard a story once, that there was this young individual, he was from the subcontinent, right? He went to study in some Western country, maybe US or Canada or UK, I don't know where. So he came from some subcontinent country, like from a village. And you know, when somebody comes from there, sometimes they learn a bit of English and they feel really proud about themselves, etc., etc. So he was there for 20-25 years. He was studying. He was there for about 15 years, and he returned. He hadn't seen his family for like 15-20 years, and he just completed his master's and PhD about 15-20 years, and he came. when he arrived at the capital, the airport, a lot of people came to meet him. And his old father, who was like some really humble person, and who was from a poor family background, he hadn't seen his father. He also came and to the airport. Now this individual, this young man, he did not know that his father had come, because he thought, my father would not able to come to the airport, to the capital city. What I'll do is, once I go home, then I'll meet my father. And he had some friends and some dignitaries and important people coming to meet him. So they were meeting him. And his father was at the forefront, an old man with humble clothing, really modest clothing. His father was there at the front. So when his father was trying to meet him, he just pushed him away. He said, move, old man, I've got people to meet. Somebody, one of his dignitaries, he said, you know that old man, that's your father. He said, oh, it's my father. He left all them and he went and embraced his father and he kissed his father's hands on his forehead, and then he was with his father all the time. Until he didn't know he was his father, he said, move, old man. The moment he recognized him, that is his father, that's when all the love and respect came about. You can only love and respect somebody if you recognize that person, if you know that person. If we know the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, only then will we be able to love him. And we must know him. And Allah has made this an obligation. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَوَلَمْ يَعْرِفُوا. Allah talks about the kuffar, the non-Muslims. أَوَلَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُمْ مُنْكِرُونَ. Did they not recognize the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now the author here as well, he talks about this in a few pages. The importance of, he says, there are many reasons why every single human being, male or female, is duty bound and is obligated and is obliged to recognize the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, know about him, know about his characteristics, about his nature, about his akhlaq, about his manners. And many reasons. Number one is that because we have to believe in him, we have to have faith in him. Allah says, "Aminu billahi wa rasuli." Believe in Allah and His Messenger. And you can't believe in someone until you know about him. So we have to learn about him in order to believe in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he talks about as well that there's many reasons why some other reasons why we must learn about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I'll move on. So the first point here is that we must know him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We must recognize him. We must learn about him. And learning about him and knowing of him will result in us having true and genuine love, which is level number two, step number two, which is absolutely obligatory, necessary upon every Muslim as well. It's a fard, it's an obligation. Hubbur Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, loving the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's an obligation, it's a fard, it's mandatory, it's compulsory, it's necessary upon every male Muslim female, Muslim male female, just as it's obligatory for all of us to perform Salatul Jumu'ah and offer the rest of the prayers. There's no difference. Rather, it's more important. Every Muslim must love. But remember, it's easy to claim that we love. It's easy to claim. Every Muslim will say, I have love. And alhamdulillah, everybody does have some amount of love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may Allah increase our love for him, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But we need to increase this love more and more. And this is an obligation, as I said. Allah says in the Quran, the famous verse, that قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره. That say, O Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, if your fathers, your children, your offspring, and your spouses, your family, and your wealth, and your business and trade, that you have earned, and you fear that you'll gain a loss, these treasures and earnings and wealth and dunya, if all of these things are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, then wait. فَتَرَبَّصُوا. Wait for the punishment until Allah brings His command of punishment. This is a promise and a warning of punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for not having love for himself and for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. None of you can be a complete believer. You cannot be a perfect, complete Muslim believer until you do not have more love for me, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, until you don't have more love for me more than حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده, more than his father, parents, and children, and the rest of mankind. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu once, he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, I have love for you more than anything illa min nafsi, except my own self. He said, you still do not have complete faith. You have to have more love for me more than even your own self. After a while, Sayyidina Umar, he came back and he said, O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, Anta ahabba ilayya min nafsi. He said, now you are more beloved to me than my own self. He said, Al-ana ya Umar. Al-ana ya Umar. Now, O Umar. Now you have, your iman is complete and your faith is complete. We have to have that complete and total, utter love and devotion for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani you can't differentiate between the two. Love for Allah is love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love for the Messenger of Allah is love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't differentiate in our love, of course, not in worship. So this is an obligation. We must have extreme amount of love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And knowing him will result in loving him. As I said, why will knowing about him result in loving him? The author says here that look, the reason why a human being loves someone or somebody or a thing or an item or an object, why do we love something or somebody? It's because of the good qualities instilled in them. And he mentioned, he said, an individual can be loved because of his nobility. Somebody can be loved for his bravery. Somebody for his wisdom, somebody for his knowledge, somebody for his humbleness and humility, somebody for his piety and his worshipping of Allah, somebody for his wara'i, and his piety, somebody لِكَمَالِ عَقْلِهِ, somebody because he's very intelligent. These are all qualities because of which we love people. Somebody because of his good understanding, somebody because of his calmness, his composure, جَمَالُ أَدَبِهِ, his good etiquettes and good manners, حُسْنُ خُلْقِهِ, good manners. فَصَاحَةِ لِسَانِهِ, we love people because of the eloquence of their tongue. حُسْنُ مُعَاشَرَةِ, we love people because of their good behavior and dealings with other people. لِشَفَقَتِهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ, somebody is, we love because of his rahmah, his mercy. And etc. أَوْ نَحْوِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ صَفَاتِ الْكَمَالِ, etc. These are the type of qualities because of which we love people. And all of these qualities have been all gathered in Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we look and we read about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll see. We see these books talking about his taqwa, his piety, his gentleness, his calmness, his composure, his humility, his humbleness, his bravery, his sabr, his fortitude, his tawadu', and his eloquence of his speech, of his beauty, of external and internal beauty. Externally and internally he was beautiful. كَانَ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ وَجْهًا وَكَانَ أَحْسَنَهُمْ خُلُقًا. He was beautiful in face and the way his body structure was, and also in his character and his manners. There was nobody like unto the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we learn about all of this, we learn, we read, each page we read about the Blessed Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Seriously, brothers and sisters, automatically this will create love in our hearts. You read one page from the Blessed Seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with devotion. Not just like I'm reading a book, you know, in bedtime storybook, legs spread out. I'm not saying it's haram, but that's not the way to read. Some people, okay, I'm in the bed, just, yeah, okay. This was a guy, yeah, who was this human being, Muhammad. No, not like that. We need to read about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with devotion. And with the intention of increasing our love. And then after that with the intention of following him. Because that is the ultimate aim and objective. to follow him. And only by following him we will be true in our claim that we love him. Because everybody claims that we love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all claim. And we all, rightfully so, in many instances, we have rage when somebody, you know, says something bad about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or somebody disrespects the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, we have rage. But brothers and sisters, that's not enough. That's not the only sign of love. True love is in following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What will determine that we have love for him more than our parents and children and our lives and our own selves is when there is a clash. There's a clash between the statement, the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what our parents say, or what our children want, or what we want, our desires, what we want ourselves. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you can't be a complete believer until your desires, your whims, your fancies, your wishes, your thoughts are in accordance to that which I came with, the revelation which I was sent with by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More than what we want. It's not about what we want, it's about what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah wants. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. A male believer and a female believer, they have no choice in the matter. When Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, when they make the decision, then we don't have no choice. This is what we'll find out when there's a clash, when there's a conflict of interest. Do we give preference to the command of Allah and His Messenger, or to that which we want, or our parents want, or our children want? If we do, then that means we don't have love for the Messenger. We do not have the love that we ought to have for the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is following him. We look at the companions, Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They were unique in their following. They would learn about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to follow him. And if we read about the Sahaba, subhanAllah, brother and sister, you'll be shocked and amazed. The way they followed him, when he would remove his slippers, they would remove their slippers. He took off his ring, they took off their ring. They were crazy in the way they followed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud once was coming, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving a khutbah, a sermon. There were some people standing like on the outskirts, on the side. So, you know, he said, sit down, if you want to go, go, or if you want to sit, sit. So he said, sit down. The people who are standing at the back, please can you take a seat. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was coming from his house. He heard on the road, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sit down. He sat on the road. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam afterwards said to him that, oh Abdullah, I did not mean you to, you know, sit on the road. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I know what you meant. But when my ears heard your blessed voice saying sit, it was impossible for me to move one step further. These were the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. One of them went to some place like the superpower of the time, Kisra, and they told him that he was eating food, a morsel of food fell on the ground, he picked it up. He blew on it, ate it. Somebody said, you know what, these people, they might think it's bad, or it's bad etiquette. He said, so what they think? Who cares? أَنَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ رَسُولِنَا حَبِيبِنَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ أَجْلِ هَؤُلَاءِ الْحُمَقَاءِ. Shall I leave the sunnah of my beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of these insane people? So what? This is the way of my beloved. If they like it, that's good for them. If they don't like it, like we say in England, like it or lump it. I don't know if you say it here. This is following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I'm moving on now, time is short. But remember this, brothers and sisters. Knowing him is to love him. And loving him is to follow him. We need to know him first, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once we know him, it will automatically make us love him. Once we love him, then when you love somebody, you do anything. You do anything. You know, the Arabs have this, there was a guy called Majnun and Layla. You heard of Majnun and Layla? You heard, everybody's heard of Majnun and Layla, mashallah. You know, Majnun, Imra al-Qais, he said, أَمُرُّ عَلَى الدِّيَارِ دِيَارِ لَيْلَى فَأُقَبِّلُ ذَا الْجِدَارِ وَذَا الْجِدَارِ وَمَا حُبُّ الدِّيَارِ شَغَفْنَ قَلْبِي وَلَكِنْ حُبُّ مَنْ سَكَنَ الدِّيَارَ. You know, he used to go around the house of Layla and he used to kiss this wall and that wall. You know, he used to go around and do tawaf, you know, circulate the house of Layla, his beloved. And he used to kiss the wall. So he says in his poetry, he said, أَمُرُّ عَلَى الدِّيَارِ دِيَارِ لَيْلَى. I circulate and I go around the houses of the house of my beloved Layla. And I kiss this wall and I kiss that wall. وَمَا حُبُّ الدِّيَارِ شَغَفْنَا قَلْبِي. It's not the love of the wall. I'm not in love with the wall that I'm kissing the wall. وَلَكِنْ حُبُّ مَنْ سَكَنَ الدِّيَارَ. But it's the love of the individual who lives in the midst of these walls. He even fell in love with the wall of the house of his beloved. Ask some young people when they go in love. They think they're in love, by the way, but it's all lust. That's another topic. They think they're crazy, they're love. I can't do without her. It's like 18, 19 years of age and I can't eat and one minute I miss you so much and I and then after like 1 year, completely forgotten when they move on and then the next person comes. That's another topic. But this is the love. When you have genuine love for somebody, then you will fall in love with anything and everything remotely linked and associated with that person. When we have true love for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that he used to love this particular type of food. We'll eat that. This is what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they used to love dubba. What's dubba in English? Sorry? Do you call it squash here? Squash? No.
Bodyguard.
No. Yeah. So what do you call it?
Bodyguard.
Say that again.
Bodyguard.
Okay. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they used to search for that because they knew that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would love that. Anyway, so we need to learn about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, when we look at his character, I just want to talk about his character briefly because his character and then his dealings with his spouses. But here, for example, the author, rahimahullah wa radi anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he talks about hawla khuluqihi al-azim, around his character and discussing his behavior and his characteristics and his manners. And he begins with the verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun, ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun wa inna laka la ajran ghayra mamnun wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he takes oath by, he says Noon, and then he takes an oath by the pen, wa ma yasturun, and that which it writes, and that which the angels write. And he addresses the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. That you are not insane, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the fadl, the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Allah blessed you with this revelation, wahi, made you a prophet, so you are not an insane person. Because they used to call the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insane, and then Allah said after that, wa inna laka la ajran, and you have reward because of your sabr and your patience. And then the verse, this part of the verse, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. That you, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is addressing the Messenger and saying to him that you are ala khuluqin azim, you are on a very high level of behavior. You are perfect in your characteristics. This is a topic in itself, brothers and sisters, the characteristics and the manners. Every book of seerah you pick up, you will see khalq and khuluq. You know, they're written in the same way, but it's just khalq of the features, the body structure of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are hadiths that talk about, subhanAllah, amazing beauty, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him, the beauty that he created him with. And that's a topic which will be discussed. And then after that, every book goes into the khuluq, khalq and khuluq. Khuluqun nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his characteristics, his behavior, his mannerism, his interaction, the way he dealt with people, his gentleness. And there are many hadiths. Sayyiduna Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, su'ilat an khuluqi rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was asked once about the character of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. His behavior, his character was the Qur'an, because he lived by the Qur'an. يغضب لغضبه ويرضى لرضاه. If he even became angry ever, it was by the Quran, in light of the Quran, and he would be happy with by the Quran. If somebody, meaning in whoever implemented the Quran in their lives, he would be happy with that. كان أحسن الناس. You see what, another riwayah. كان أحسن الناس خلقا. He was the most perfect of individuals in his behavior, in his characteristics. لم يكن فاحشا ولا متفحشا. He was not foul mouth. He was not foul mouth. He was not rude and vulgar in his speech. And this is actually a very important thing, brothers and sisters. The way we talk, Islam teaches us how to talk and how to have a conversation and how to interact with people. Islam is not just about performing salah. It's much more than that. There's a way of even talking with people. Sometimes we forget that Islam deals with how to talk with people. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, read his seerah, how he would interact, how he would have a conversation with people. وَلَا سَخَّابًا فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. He never used to shout in the markets. He never used to shout. He used to be calm, gentle, composed at all times. وَلَا لَعَانًا. He never used to curse people. Allah says in the Quran, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. This is an amazing, unique verse. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. It is because of the rahmah, the mercy of Allah. لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. You are gentle, O Messenger. Because of Allah's mercy on you, you are gentle to the people around you. لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Had you been فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ. Had you been rude in your conversation, in your speech, and had you been harsh-hearted and hard-hearted and aggressive, لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. These people around you, the companions, they would have left you and gone. People were pulled. Why would they be pulled to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's because of his character. Like there's one sahabi, and the author has mentioned this riwayah somewhere. I think it was Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. He came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to make every individual feel extremely important. Every individual used to think that I am the most important to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he came to him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, who is the most beloved to you, Abu Bakr or me? He thought that he will say that I am the most beloved, because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made him feel that he's the most important to him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, man ahabba an-nas ilayk? Who is the most closest and beloved to you? He said, Abu Bakr. He said, then who? He said, Umar. Then he said, then who? He said, Uthman. And he says, I just stopped there because I didn't want to get more upset. I actually thought and felt that he would say I was the most beloved to him, because that's how he was made to feel. Every individual, there are riwayat here. Like for example, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, is a companion. You know what he says? ما حجبني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم منذ أسلمت. Never did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam create a barrier between myself and himself. Never. I could go to him anytime. He was no superhuman being with 10 bodyguards. Like in one riwayah, when somebody came and asked, من منكم محمد؟ Who is Muhammad? He said, هذا الرجل. The Sahaba said, هذا الرجل الأبيض المتكي. Can you see this white person, fair in complexion, this person here who's just leaning against the wall? That's Muhammad. Cool. See him. Doesn't have 25 bodyguards and really difficult to get through to him. He was one of them. He used to walk with them, not like 25 million people behind him. He was in the midst. He used to tell people to move ahead of him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, ما حجبني رسول الله منذ أسلمت. And then listen to this. ولا رآني. I mean, I actually love this riwayah. ولا رآني إلا تبسم في وجهي. Never did he see me. Remember, he said, since, this is Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajri, since I became a Muslim, never did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam see me except that he smiles in my face. Smiling is a sunnah, brothers and sisters. You know, some of us, we have forgotten to smile. We can't smile, inshallah, brothers and sisters. إِنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلَقٍ. It's part of good actions and charity that you meet your fellow Muslim brother and sister with a pleasant and smiling face. It's a sunnah. We have to start actually, people, we talk about unity all the time. We should at least start off unity with smile. When you see a Muslim, smile. Not that, oh, he's from that group and this group and he's Salafi, he's this, Sufi and Wahhabi, Barelvi, Dub. Forget all that. At least smile. You see a Muslim, smile, brothers and sisters. Seriously. When we look at other people, it's like we have 200 thoughts in our minds. He's from that mosque and that group and that, you know, community and yeah, and we're giving some evil looks. SubhanAllah, it's so distressing. We need to start smiling. Any Muslim you see, meet them with a smiling face. Inshallah, we'll be rewarded. The Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he used to meet somebody, he used to turn. Like if he came to talk to me, he would turn towards him, give him full attention. There's a riwayah where he says that when somebody used to make musafaha, we used to shake hands with him, he would not remove his hands until the one who came to meet him would be the first one to remove the hands. Imagine, the whole world wants to meet you, but you met somebody, you don't move your hands except until the other person moves the hands first. There's so much to say about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was layyinul janib, easygoing person. What time do we have to end right now? Yeah? Sorry? 15 minutes. He was كان لين الجانب سهل الخلق. He was easygoing. This is a sunnah, easygoing. Not reserved. Sometimes we think we need to be all reserved. You know, I want to create this awe amongst you. That's not the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was pleasant in his dealings. حسن المعاشرة مع الأهل, with his family. He was pleasant in his dealings with his family, with his people, and generally all human beings. And the famous hadith, بُعِثْتُ لِإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. The only reason, إِنَّمَا لِلْحَسَرِ, the only reason why Allah sent me to you was that I, لِأُتَمِّمَ, I complete and I perfect مكارم الأخلاق, noble characters. I teach you how to be a human being. We sometimes have forgotten that we are human beings. We need to be human beings. And sometimes it's very unfortunate to say this, brothers and sisters, but that we see sometimes non-Muslims behaving in a better way than us in their character. And I'm not saying that a non-Muslim is better than a Muslim, but what I am saying is that it's very unfortunate. The teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we were supposed to follow, we see sometimes non-Muslims following them. Especially here in Canada, definitely, and maybe here as well. You know, the way the dealings are, the people are generally more pleasant than in UK. In UK, a bit more grumpy. Okay, but here, mashallah, especially in Canada, when I went to Toronto, I saw a big difference. They always say, "Have a nice day." You're welcome. You know, all the time we say thank you. You're welcome. But you know, this pleasantness, we as Muslims should inculcate this in our lives as well. With everybody. With Muslims as well as non-Muslims. Just basic acts of courtesy. Opening the door for somebody. You go in first. No, it's fine. You go in first. When we're traveling, the way we drive our cars. I mentioned this on many occasions before as well. You know, there are rules about driving a car as well. Seriously, Islam is about everything. There are rules about driving a car as well. We are Muslims when we're behind the wheel. And you know what the rule is? Imagine for one moment, when you're driving a car, think for one moment. If the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was driving a car, how would he drive? Think. Remember, there were no cars in those days. So he never drove a car, okay? And neither is it a bid'ah to drive a car as well. There are cars and we can drive. But imagine for one moment, imagine, seriously, think the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam behind the steering wheel. How would he drive? Would he be really calm, composed, collective, give way to people? Or would he drive like a young maniac person, just like driving, speeding and road rage? Seriously, there's nothing. You don't become an important person because you're powerful and you can drive a car very fast. People love you because of your calmness and composure. People have more love for you and more respect for you because of your gentleness and your calmness and composure. It's something that these are the qualities that make other people love and respect you. Humbleness, humility, calmness and composure. And this is why we saw the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, having all these qualities. There's a hadith here. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib relates from radiyallahu anhu relates, Imam al-Tirmidhi mentions this hadith. إِذَا وَصَفَ رَسُولُ When he used to describe وَصَفَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يَقُولُ He used to say أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ صَدْرًا He was the most generous of people. وَأَصْدَقَهُمْ لَهْجَةً He was the most truthful in his conversation. وَأَلْيَنُهُمْ عَرِيقَةً He was the most gentle in his temperament. وَأَكْرَمَهُمْ عِشْرَةً He was the most noble in his relationship, in his behavior with people. And he used to, Imam al-Bukhari radiallahu anhu relates from Abdullah ibn Umar that he said, لَمْ يَكُنِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فَاحِشًا وَلَا مُتَفَحِشًا The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was not foul-mouthed. وَكَانَ يَقُولُ And he used to say, إِنَّ مِنْ خِيَارِكُمْ أَحَاسِنُكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا The best amongst you is the one who has the best manners and characters. And there are many riwayat. This is the one. وَمَا تَنَاوَلَ أَحَدٌ يَدَهُ قَطُّ إِلَّا نَاوَلَهُ إِيَّهَا فَلَا يَنْزِعُ يَدَهُ حَتَّى يَكُونَ الرَّجُلُ هُوَ الَّذِي يَنْزِعُهَا مِنْهُ And when somebody used to come and ask him something, when somebody used to talk to him, أَصْغَى إِلَيْهِ He listened attentively. There are rules and etiquettes, brothers. Like when somebody's talking with us, and we're taking a mobile phone, and it's, what are you saying? Yeah, don't. It's bad adab. If somebody's talking to us, say, brother, if it's important, brother, sister, you don't mind, please, can I just take this call? Can I just text back to somebody? These are the etiquettes of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a whole book in Arabic, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah, for those of you who know him. He has a very good book written in Arabic, Min Adab al-Islam. And it's actually been translated into English, Islamic manners. It's all booklet. I would encourage every Muslim to read that. I actually gave a course on that once in England a couple of years ago. 3 full days. There are basic etiquettes of conversation, of knocking on people's door, of making sure that you knock only 3 times, not looking through people's letterboxes, and not going from the back garden and trying to jump into somebody's house, or not trying to see through the window while they're up opening the door. These are all unlawful things. A Muslim is a calm and composed individual who has adab and respect and etiquette about him. And he was gentle with every individual, with every... Sayyidina Anas bin Malik, the famous hadith, Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he says that, خَدِمْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ I served the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم for 10 years. Imagine serving somebody for 10 years, 10 full years. In those 10 years, فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍ قَتُّ Never did he say the word of uff, meaning he did not even say a word of contempt. Like saying, when we say that. Not even that much in 10 years. Imagine, you're a boss of your business. You have all the power. You're the employer. You've employed people. And in 10 years, you don't even raise your voice. Not even that small word of contempt. This is a miracle of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We talk about all these other miracles, and there are miracles like splitting of the moon and this and that, but these are difficult miracles. This is a real miracle. Imagine 10 years. وَمَا قَالَ لِي كُفٍ قَطُّ And he never said to me for something that I was supposed to do, why did you not do it? And something for which I was not supposed to do, why did you do it? Never in 10 years. Imagine. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, his blessed wife, was again asked, كَيْفَ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي بَيْتِهِ He was not like this just outside. Some of us were very good in our character behavior. I'm here right now, I'm talking about it, I seem very, very calm. And if I go in the house and I'm not like I'm here, then that's nifaq, hypocrisy. We are gentle and kind, some of us, well, at least that's a start. That means we can be gentle, right? Outside with everybody, we will be very good, have a good akhlaq. But the moment we enter our house, we become some kind of aggressive animal. The way we treat our children and our spouses. It's easy to be gentle and kind and, you know, collective and composed when we're outside. It's easy because you don't live with that person. Like somebody once came and praised another individual in front of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, or was it Abdullah ibn Umar? I think it was Umar ibn al-Khattab, I'm not sure. He said, have you traveled with him? Said no. Have you lived with him? Said no. Have you done a transaction with him, business dealing with him? No. He said no. Said then don't praise him because you don't have a right to praise him. You don't really truly know about a person unless you live with that person. You know, when things get difficult, outside we're all gentle. But when things get difficult, when the going gets tough, as they say in England, when the going gets tough, then are you still gentle or are you tough now? They say in Arabic, الإنسان المرء مخبوغ تحت لسانه. A human being is hidden under his tongue. A human being is hidden under his tongue. Normally, when everything is fine and, you know, okay around him, this human being is fine. He's not foul mouthed. But when things become difficult, when the going gets tough, when somebody said something wrong, or somebody said something that I did not like, and that's when I become foul mouthed, I become angry. That's the point when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants sabr and patience from us. And seriously, brothers and sisters, there are individuals who get so angry at home with their spouses. And this, inshallah, I'm going to talk about tomorrow now, about the spouses. I don't know, this I was supposed to talk about 15 minutes, what I was talking about right now. I was thinking 15 minutes on this, and then I was going to go into the spouses and husband, and then I was going to talk about the wife, and then the husband as well. But tomorrow, inshallah. There are people I know, and because I interact and I meet a lot of people, who actually make utterances and statements of disbelief. A'udhu billah. Kufr. You know when they get angry? I don't believe in Allah and this and that. People say that. Seriously, when people become angry, they say anything and everything. They divorce their women like 6 million times. Like a man said, I'm going to give you the talaq, which belongs to the whole world's talaq. I'm divorcing you like 6 million times. The amount of stars there are, that's the amount of divorces you're getting. They go crazy, insane, insanity, anger. You know, it's a form of anger is a form of insanity. There's no self-control. And this is what Islam teaches us, to have sabr and patience. And remember sabr, as the hadith says, as-sabru 'inda sadmatil ula. Sabr which Allah wants from us is at the first moment. Not when everything is calm and like you had a fight with somebody, he said something and you gave him a blue and a black and a green eye and you bruised him. And then after that, after 10 minutes, I am having sabr. Come on, that's not sabr now. Sabr 'inda sadmatil ula. The moment the calamity hits, and the moment when it's all difficult, you're so composed and calm, and you exercise sabr and patience. Sabr is a top. This is a quality that we need to learn about and inculcate and instill in our minds and in our hearts. Sabr. Extreme amount of sabr we need to exercise, especially in a relationship when we're at family. I recently gave a talk about family relationships. Causes of family disunity and the solutions. What are the causes? Why do we have conflicts in family between parents and children and siblings and brothers and sisters and in-laws and, you know, daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, the oldest problem in the world? What are the causes? Asbab, ashiqaq. What are the causes of these differences and the solutions? One of the main reasons is that we do not have sabr. We do not exercise sabr and patience. We just want it my way, or that's it, or the highway. That's what we want. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us to have sabr and have patience. And he taught us, you know, there's a hadith which says, Al-mar'u alladhi yukhalitu ma'an nasi wa yasbiru ala adhahum khayrun min alladhi la yukhalitu al-nas wa la yasbiru ala adhahum. A man who mixes with people and then exercises sabr and patience is better than the one who does not meet people, who does not interact and mingle with others and does not have to exercise patience. What that hadith means is that, you know, if a person says, look, I will just go to the top of the mountain, I'll just live there, I don't have to interact and mingle and deal with anybody, and I have sabr. Okay, you've got sabr, because there's nothing that's going to create anger within you. It's like telling the blind man, don't look at porn. Okay? Okay, the blind man is not going to look at nudity, of course, because he's blind. The one who actually lives with people, and because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that when we live with people, it naturally there will be scenarios and situations and circumstances where our feelings will be hurt. Naturally, if you marry, then the natural consequence result is that you will have differences. Young people don't understand this before they get married. It's not all just hunky-dory. When you live with somebody, it's natural that two people are not created exactly 100%. You know, my thumb and every single individual's thumb. Now, when I came to the airport here, it's like first time. Put your thumb on your right finger. This is, subhanAllah, first time that's happened at an airport. Why? Every single individual human being Allah created, each person's thumb, fingerprints, different from another person. Imagine. Which means that the nature of every individual is different from another. And when two different natures meet and live together, it's natural, it's logical that they have differences. But the point is that we need to start living with these differences. The husband and wife will have differences. But the point is, we have to learn to live with these differences, inshaAllah ta'ala. So these differences and these what happens between husband and wives, inshaAllah, tomorrow part two, I will try my best, inshaAllah, to talk about some issues specifically relating to dealing with spouses. How the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with his wives and how he treated them. And I will also talk about the rights of the husband as well at the end, inshallah. I will talk about that as well, because sometimes, you know, in December, I was at RIS conference in Toronto where I gave a talk. I had a talk on rights of the husband and rights of the wife. Now, I took no speaker, you know, besides me, spoke about the husband's rights. Everybody's just talking about women, 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 okay? Which is, of course, it's needed. There's a lot of domestic violence and abuse of women, of course. What I did was I dedicated the majority of my talk on the rights of the wife and in quite depth and detail, like 40 minutes. And then at the end, about 5 to 7 to 8 minutes, I talked about the husband. Afterwards, there was two brothers, I think there were two Arab brothers, and came to me and they said to me, Shaykh, subhanAllah, jazakAllah khair, may Allah reward you. I said, why? So we were waiting for 3 days that somebody talks about the husband. It's like, his words were, it's like, the husband has no right in Islam. That's what we were thinking for 3 days. For once, at least we know that there are some rights, husband have rights. So, jazakAllah khair. So I will talk about the husband as well, inshaAllah.